And as we've been discussing, President Biden and Vice President Harris both spoke at the Capitol this morning to mark this anniversary of the insurrection. And that was the focus as I began my conversation with the Vice President earlier this afternoon. Madam Vice President, thank you very much for joining us. On this day, 1 year after the assault on the Capitol, you, President Biden, speaking out very forcefully on the need to correct the lies out there about what happened and to hold former President Trump accountable. But we know 1 year later, those lies have only settled in. Why do you think it is, after all this time, that attitudes have not changed?
Well, Judy, first of all, it's great to be with you. I will say, as I said in my speech this morning, that I do believe that there has been a slow attempt to unravel our democracy that proceeded 1 year ago. And it is important that we look at what happened 1 year ago on January 6th as a moment in a series of events that have been taking place, some would argue, over the last 15 years, slowly but steadily, in terms of an attempt to erode our democracy. And when I think then about where we are as of today, this is a moment where we reflect on this violent assault on our Capitol, an assault that I think in many ways symbolized what can happen if there is a destruction of democracy, meaning chaos and violence and a lack of order or adherence to rule of law. But let's also see this as a moment where the duality of the existence of a democracy that is both fragile and strong was highlighted, in that at the end of January 6th, that night 1 year ago, where I was there still as a senator and vice president-elect,
right,
members of all parties, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, went back to show their loyalty to the Constitution above party or person and uphold the tenets of our Constitution and our democracy.
But just as many people today, if not more, believe the lies about what happened, what's to stop this from just staying this way, this deep polarization, for years to come?
Our democracy will not stand and it will not survive if we, each of us, is not vigilant in understanding we can take nothing about it for granted. So to your point, there have been moments in history such as this where there has been rampant misinformation, lies. And it is incumbent then on those who are informed, who are knowledgeable, to be vigilant in speaking truth, no matter how difficult sometimes it is to hear, much less speak. Because the truth is that the democracy of the United States of America is only standing as it is because of the faith and the purpose of the American people to fight for it.
Given attitudes out there, do you believe the January 6th House Committee will get to the bottom of what happened?
I do. And I, from what I'm witnessing from the outside, it seems that they are exercising great diligence, and they are being guided by the facts and law and doing their job and upholding their oath to defend and support the Constitution of the United States. I do have faith in the process that they have embarked upon, and I think we will see, I hope and I believe we will see justice come out of it.
I want to ask you about what the vice chair of that committee, Representative Liz Cheney, one of the only Republicans seeking to hold the former president accountable, said. She said former President Trump, quote, summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Is she right?
Yes. And again, these are moments where we must speak truth, and I applaud her courage. In the midst of, a number of her colleagues who have failed to show such courage, or those who have shown courage and sadly are not seeking re-election or have not sought re-election, I applaud her courage to speak truth. Yes.
But if that's the case, then does that not mean there will have to be serious consideration of a criminal prosecution?
I am not privy to the internal facts that are before that committee, so I can't speak to that. And perhaps I'm burdened by also my career as an attorney and as a prosecutor, where I'm not going to judge or speak to the facts and the law in the case, which I don't know.
Well, let me ask you about the aftermath of all this. You and President Biden are going to be speaking out more publicly in the days to come about the need for voting rights reform. But we know right now there aren't enough votes for that in the Senate. Some Republicans are countering right now with a proposal to reform the way the Electoral College vote takes place. Why is that not an acceptable compromise?
Because it's not a solution to the problem at hand, which is that right now in the United States of America, we need federal laws that guarantee the freedom and right of every American to have access to the ballot, to be able to vote. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the Freedom to Vote Act, address that issue. And those are the issues that are present and that are imminent and that are really dispositive, frankly, of this moment in time in terms of whether we are going to fight for some of the most important pillars of a democracy, such as the freedom to vote and free and fair elections. So let us pass those two pieces of legislation and ensure through the federal law that all Americans have meaningful access to the polls.
Three other things I want to ask you about, Madam Vice President. COVID is the first. Six of the prominent public health advisors who were part of the Biden-Harris transition team have today gone public with a plea to the president to adopt an entirely new pandemic strategy geared to what they call the new normal of living with this virus indefinitely, trying to minimize the risk.
First of all, what we know without any debate, and I think all of us agree, is that we have tools available to us to address this pandemic in a way that we can at the very least mitigate the harm to the greatest number of people. And so we are going to continue as an administration to urge all people who are eligible to get vaccinated, to get the booster, to wear masks when they are in public, and to do what is necessary for us to get beyond this. We welcome, of course, anyone who has information, especially those who are experts, about how we can accomplish these goals. But there are certain things that are without debate and really not even necessary for discussion at this point among people who are knowledgeable about what needs to happen in terms of vaccines and boosters and masks.
But is it time for a new approach is the question. I mean, this administration came in promising to get things on track. Here we are a year later. We're in the fourth wave. There aren't enough tests, nearly enough.
We know that the approach in terms of vaccines, boosters, and masks work. So I don't think that that's what we're discussing right now. But let's also talk about, to your point, where we are today versus a year ago. Today, the vast majority of schools are open. Today, we have a vaccine that the majority of Americans have actually received. Boosters, we are seeing great progress with that. People are wearing their masks. So we have seen progress. We are seeing businesses reopen. And I think it's important for us to see in this moment, it is extremely frustrating. There's no question for all of us. But we also must acknowledge that there has been progress and that that is the trajectory. But there are still steps to go. We have still work to do, and in particular around the vaccines and masks, we want to make sure that everyone is taking advantage of all the tools that we do have available to us right now.
Two other things. One is your administration, the Biden-Harris agenda in the beginning, a year ago, got off to a strong start, but it's obviously stalled. Right now, the president's approval ratings have taken a dramatic hit. Did you try to do too much?
Well, I think that there are many metrics by which we can measure where we are today. One of them, again, is where we are on COVID, which we just discussed. Let's also look at where we are on the economy. Last year, we created 6 million new jobs. Last year, we brought unemployment down to, I believe it was 4.2%, which the economists most didn't believe would happen until at least 2023, 2024. So we have seen great progress. We passed an infrastructure law. People have been, of both parties as administrations have been talking about doing for generations. There has been great progress. No doubt, you know, COVID, for example, I mean, everybody is frustrated with that. And I understand and I fully appreciate there is a level of malaise. We're in 2 years into this thing. you know, people are, we want to get back to normal. We all do. But we have to then do the tough and hard work of pushing through with solutions, understanding that there are going to be challenges, but let's meet the challenges where they are. And let's also take a moment to see the progress we've achieved.
Last question. This year, Madam Vice President, has not been an easy one for you. There have been a rash of stories about dissension inside your office, inside the White House, about questions about your role. What would you say you've learned over this year?
Well, one of the things I've learned is to get out of D.C. I think it's important to definitely be out and be, you know, I can't tell you when I've been able to get out of D.C. and be with the folks who are actually informing our policies and will be impacted by our policies. I do hope that this year I will be able to get out there more. I know the president feels the same way, so that we can make sure that we are with the folks and not just, frankly, you know, hanging out in D.C. with the pundits.
Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Good to be with you. Thank you. Happy New Year.